As we continue now in our study of the early church as seen in the book of Acts, and are particularly interested in the Christians that we see there and see them as they become Christian and as they serve, we come to a part in the record where there is a change in the direction of the activity. This does not mean that the church altogether changed its ways, but that it opened up a new phase of activity. In the early part of the book of Acts, in the opening chapters, we saw how people became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and received the Holy Spirit. And this took us on along as the gospel was shared by those who believed and gave it to those who did not believe, and then how these people in turn would respond and believe and receive the Holy Spirit. This sort of thing had been presented through the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts. And now at chapter 13, we come to what I think we would all just call the beginning of the foreign missionary effort, the beginning of this project of taking the gospel out into new communities away from the city where it began. And we begin in chapter 13 at the first verse. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now you'll see the city named here is Antioch. Much of what happened in the first 12 chapters in the book of Acts was in the city of Jerusalem. And you didn't hear about Antioch until the 11th chapter. That was when certain Grecian Jews went down to Antioch and preached the gospel to the Greeks. And then you will remember in the latter part of chapter 11, the church sent Barnabas down there. And when Barnabas saw how they were getting along, he went and got Saul of Tarsus. And Saul and he taught the people for more than a year. And the people were called Christians first at Antioch. Now here we are going on with the story. And at this point, the attention is focused upon the church in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers. Now the word prophet, common to us all, usually in our minds refers to some man who acted in the Bible times, the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament prophets. But we can come a little closer to it than that in our minds. The word prophet is very much like the word preacher, means practically the same thing. And what you have here when it speaks of certain prophets and teachers is like saying certain preachers and teachers. And then we have several men named. You will notice the first one named is Barnabas, and the last one named is Saul. Each one of these was something else about them, Barnabas, and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. These three men in the middle, so to speak, are each given some special identification. But Barnabas is just named as such, and Saul is just named as such, I think partly because so much of the rest of the story is going to concern Barnabas and Saul, any reader will have no question in his mind who these were. We read in verse 2, chapter 13 of the book of Acts, verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted." Now, here is an expression we do not commonly use. Do you think of a Christian church, a group of Christian people gathered together who ministered to the Lord? Would you understand how your congregation ministers to the Lord? That's what happened here. As they ministered to the Lord. Now, I would suggest to you that the way a group of Christian people would minister to the Lord would be in such things as this. They would praise Him in their prayer meetings. They would thank Him for the good that He had done, and they would serve Him with themselves and with other people, being conscious of Him. Now, this ministering to the Lord didn't happen just at certain times, 11 o'clock in the forenoon, 7:30 in the evening. That's not the idea. Their general manner of living was such as they were obedient to the Lord. As they were obedient to the Lord, as they obeyed the Lord, it would be in their daily affairs and in their daily living, which meant not only their ordinary housework and their businesses, it meant their day-by-day living that included their worship and their praying their ministry to other people of kindness and of comfort that they would share with other people. Whatever they did unto the Lord. And I think when it says here, as they ministered to the Lord, you can well have in mind, as they lived lives that were obedient to God and fasted. Now, the idea of fasting is new to most of us. I should say it is strange to many of us. I think that many of us depend upon our church and Sunday school for what we learn about various things that have to do with spiritual life. And this is one activity in the modern church that is pretty largely bypassed, fasting. Now, I think that normally speaking, the idea of fasting would be the interruption of a usual procedure, such as eating and drinking, and doing without that for a time so that you could concentrate the whole of the attention upon the things of God. I expect the average person has in mind that the word fasting would include such a thing as this, going without food so that you might in that time when you would naturally be hungry, when ordinarily if you had eaten your meals, your body would be involved with the digesting of the food and you would have a certain pleasant lassitude covering your whole body because your stomach was full and your whole body was just assimilating the food that you had eaten. In place of that, by not eating, the stomach being empty, and the body being without this supply of food, there would be a certain tension, there would be a certain awareness of things, you'd be very sensitive. Somebody might speak of you and think of you as being irritable, being on edge, but the same thing would be true, you'd be sensitive, you'd be thoughtful about things. Now, it was a custom in various times in the history of the church, and certainly in Bible times, a custom that when a man wanted to draw nigh unto God in a special way, he wanted to devote his time and his thought to the things of the Lord in a special way, he would fast, which would mean he'd go without food. And this practice, as I say, of going without food, would not only release his body for the mental activity involved in worshiping God, but also it would, as it were, serve notice on himself that he's putting something else first. Something else is more important. The point is, they did it. And what this would amount to very much would be that they would hold prayer meetings, that they would take time out to worship God. Now, as they ministered to the Lord could very well mean as they lived lives in obedience to God and fasted, took time from periods of time, from time to time, they made occasion to personally seek the face of the Lord in a special way. The Holy Ghost said, the Holy Spirit said to them. Now, I'm building this up in this way because I want to have in mind that this does not mean that on one given day they were having special services, and on that given day the Holy Spirit spoke to them. It may have happened that way, but it doesn't say that it happened that way. I'm inclined to think that the phrase, as they ministered to the Lord, would indicate the general way of living of this congregation, obedient to God, and fasted, that from time to time they took time to seek the face of God in devotion, in personal prayer, the Holy Spirit said. I'm not sure that these words came audibly. I'm not sure he spoke in some such way that you could see something or hear something with your ears. I'm not sure how the Holy Spirit brought this message, how he communicated to them. But he did, and they knew it was from him. And this was the message that was communicated into the hearts of these people, the whole congregation. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, that part is simple enough. A call to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them, that the Holy Spirit called them. Now, again, this may have been one single message brought in this way, but I am able in my own mind to think that as these people met in lives that were lived obediently to God, from time to time met in prayer and in fellowship in the Spirit, while they were worshiping God, and they fasted to draw nearer and nearer to God, this truth or this understanding grew in their hearts. I don't think it's necessary that this had to be just one time these words were said. This guidance from the Holy Spirit came up in the heart of this church, that they were to separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that the Holy Spirit would call them to. And now in verse 3, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And just as I have been saying, so I would say here, I'm not sure this happened just one afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They had a special service and did this. I think that when they had fasted and prayed, that might be not just one time, but that they considered it, thought about it, prayed about it, and maybe the days went by. I don't know, maybe weeks went by. But they certainly felt this was definitely the thing to do. You see, from the time a man feels the call to go to the mission field until he goes isn't always from one afternoon till the next morning. It takes time, and this could take time. When they had fasted, who knows how many times, and prayed, who knows how often, and laid their hands on them. Now, there's another expression that we do not use. We practice it some in some of our ordination services, and I'm not sure that it's a very meaningful gesture even when you actually see it. It's impressive, and it indicates a lot of things, but I wonder whether we actually have any kind of a practical grasp as to what this might mean. I'm going to share with you what I think it means. I think it means they authorized them to do this work. When they laid their hands on them, they delegated certain authorization to them. They were the authorized representatives of the church to go and preach the church the message which the church believed. Certainly, these are the things they did. They fasted, that is, they certainly sought the face of the Lord in spiritual earnestness, and prayed, they exercised themselves in faith, asking God to bless, and laid their hands on them. I think they authorized these men to represent them as they went forth. They sent them away. And the thing of interest to me is the church sent them away. Now, this is the beginning of the foreign missionary movement, and you want to see the important thing is that the church felt led to send someone to this work. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us all in our obedience to walk close enough to Thee to receive guidance from Thee as to what we should do as a church. Help us in this so that we may serve Thee and be useful in the ongo of Thy work. Add Thy blessing to each one of us to be willing to share in this work. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.